everybody. You may be seated. Please forgive my voice. It's actually come back yesterday. I couldn't talk at all, so we're good. Amen. God is good all the time. Amen. I don't know. I feel the presence of God in this place. I'm just thankful to be able to come here and worship with you guys. But you know, this morning I have something to share with you. The last couple days was kind of heavy on my heart, and I hope it blesses you and makes sense to you. Today the topic, I guess it would be, is Christian character, but specifically talking about anger. I know if you're like me, sometimes you get angry. And sometimes we don't think about our anger. We just react to our anger. It can run very deep within us. You know, we might not even be aware of what we do and what we say and how it comes off. But, you know, I think it's important that we realize, you know, how much it's going to affect not just us but the world, how it affects our family and our friends. Now, I want to go back. I heard someone say this once on the radio, talking about the Old Testament and the law. And he said something to me, and I never really heard this before, but it makes sense. The law back in the day, it regulated how much or how a man responded when they were sinned against. So think about it. If somebody poked your eye out, you know, the whole thing, an eye for an eye. Well, if somebody poked your eye out, I don't think we, just in our carnality, would settle just for their eye, an eye for an eye. No. When someone pokes your eye out on purpose, you don't want to just get their eye out. You want them to die. I mean, in your carnality, you want to pay back. When you've been done wrong, our sense of injustice rises up, and we want them to pay. You know, that's just, it's our carnality. And so we want to kill, we want to take everything of theirs. That's just our humanity. It's our flesh. And we want justice. And so the Bible, it actually, or the law, it regulated man's response. They couldn't do, you're just an eye for an eye. So as much as we might, you know, think, well, that was pretty harsh. Actually, if it were left up to man alone, it would be worse. I got an example. Look at, utilizing restraint. And this was something that was taught. We had to use restraint. You're only going to get their eye. Now look at what the sons of Jacob did to Shechem and his whole city. Think about it. I don't know if you know the story, but Jacob, he had, you know, this, he was the father, his Israel. He had this 12 sons, Joseph, all that, you know that story. Well, he had a daughter named Dinah. And she went out with her friends into the neighboring city, and she met this guy named Shechem. And long story short, they laid with each other. Anyway, Shechem loved Dinah and would have given anything for her. He actually went out and met his Jacob, and they talked, and he wanted he to give him anything. I mean, as much money, and he really cared for this girl. But he just went about it the wrong way. So the brothers, they were there too. They went out and they met with Shechem and his father, and they're like, okay, well, we'll do this, all along knowing that they were not, because they were mad that they did this to their sister, took her purity. So they said, okay, well, we'll join with you if your people get circumcised like ours. And, you know, we'll trade your women and our women, and we'll, you know, intermarry, whatever. We'll be your people, whatever. So they said this. Now, after the third day after they were circumcised, when they were still sore, Levi and Simeon slew all the men of the city, and the rest of the brothers came in and spoiled it. They were so mad that they did this to their sister. The one guy did this to their sister, that they and their sense of justice rose up and killed every man in the city, and totally spoiled their whole city. Because that's what our sense of justice, that's what our anger wants to do. That's the perfect picture of what we feel like when we get done wrong. We want revenge. We want them to pay. We get mad. And so think about it. Do you think that the punishment matched the crime? Do you think that, you know, this one thing, chances are she probably liked the guy too, because, I mean, he was obviously like the prince of the whole city. And I don't know. Who knows? But they could have been made right, but they didn't. They lied. They killed. They stole all their goods. They put them through pain and suffering. It was just bad. It was off balance. It was unjust. But that's what our carnality is like. Now, I want you to think about it. In our own life, back in this time, in this day and age, when was the last time our reaction was worse than the cause? If you think about it, when was the last time your response to a problem was actually worse than whatever the cause was? Because if you think about it, when we are acting in our carnality, it'll happen. I'll give you an example. How about when you're driving along and that guy is just driving really slow in front of you? I mean, you maneuver in front of this guy on purpose and cut him off, give him a little cut off, you know, and you're like, it's worth it. And the guy could actually have swerved off the road, crashed, and died. And we're sitting there thinking to ourselves, well, they shouldn't have been driving so slow. Really, if we think about it, that's just a brief a glimpse of our sense of injustice, our anger, when we're actually out there in the world and we feel so justified. They're driving slow. So what? If we think about it, I am guilty of this. I mean, we have to stop and think. Is it really worth potentially killing somebody on the road because they're driving slow? And so that's how our sense of justice gets all messed up. Now, this is a common one that we Christians can pull off because it's almost like it's not even real. You know why? Because we don't even speak to the people. We don't even see them. We do it behind closed doors. It's almost like as if it doesn't matter, so we can do that. But, you know, we say to ourselves, nobody knows about it. You know, when you think about it, we're so detached. We're driving 80 miles an hour, you know, and we think about it. But until you are in a courthouse standing before the judge for, you know, vehicle homicide or whatever you want to call it, that's when it'll become real. You know, there are consequences to our anger. You know that if you wouldn't have cut them off, you know that your response. So I'm kind of dragging this out, but I'm trying to paint a picture of how we take things to the extreme because of our flesh and because of our carnality. And we justify it. That's it, and it's wrong. And I'll tell you why. And actually, you know what? It's sad because a lot of times we'll pretend to be nice to the rest of the world and face to face, but then we'll go home and we'll take it out on our families and stuff like that. And that's not right either. We'll be nice to everybody else in the whole world everywhere we go, but then we'll go home and take it on our family. And this is a little side note. It's so wrong. For some reason, why is it that we're the worst to our families? If you think about it, because we can talk to them like we can't talk to anybody else. But that's not right either, you know. That's just because they know everything about you doesn't give you the right to cut them deep. That's your family. Now, let's look at the contrast in the New Testament. What I was reading before was what the law said. Now, let's read what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 45. It says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, or resist not an evil person. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other side, the other also. And if anyone will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee. And from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Wow. What a contrast to how it used to be, though. You know, before, you at least you kind of got a little bit of there. You know, well, good. Well, at least I got your eye. You got mine. But no, this is what Jesus is saying. And he's saying that there's a better way to go about it. And there's more now that happened because he fulfilled the law. This seems to go against our nature, though. What? You want me to go with you a mile? Who do you think I am? I got better things to do. You want me to go a mile? No, he said, don't just go with him a mile. Go with him an extra mile. That's like mind-blowing because in our flesh, that doesn't make sense. Someone slaps you on the face and you just take it, basically. Just take it. What is this? Why would we do this? In our humanity, everything in us wants to lash out. We want revenge. It's crazy how that kind of, he's saying, you know, he slap you on the face, just turn your cheek. It doesn't make sense. It goes against our anger. We want to let out this anger. It goes against our sense of justice. It goes against our pride, you know. We're not being very humble when someone wants us to go with them a mile. And we say, no, who do you think I am? In fact, it won't make sense to the world, actually. In our carnal thinking, it will never make sense. And as much as we try to figure it out, it's not going to make sense. Because this is more than just our carnality. We'll talk about what the Bible says about this whole mindset. Because it's not just, and if you're here today, you probably already know that it's not just about your flesh. It's not just about fulfilling your desire to get revenge. It's not just about your carnality. That's not what it's about. Yes, in your carnality and in your flesh, you might be done wrong. But in the end, it's not worth it. It doesn't matter. Because guess what? There's something in you that is greater than your flesh. Your flesh will die. Your body will fade away. Your stuff, your belongings will fade away. There's something more important at stake here. And this is kind of what it's teaching us and how we're supposed to live. You ask, why would we give them that ask of us? Well, maybe for fear that it won't be returned. Maybe we don't want to let them borrow because we're afraid we'll never get it back. And we tend to associate our money and our possessions with power and safety and security. That's where our safety is and all the stuff that we've collected or all the money that we have. And that's where our safe zone is. And that's our carnal thinking. Our trust is not in the giver of the money or the possessions or the power or the safety. Our trust isn't in the one who gives all life, but our trust is in our stuff. And that's why we don't really want to be there. We don't really want to give it because if we give that, then we're giving up our source of power. We're giving up our source of security. And that's something to think about. We do that. We get so, like, I got money in my pocket. I'm safe and I'm good. And I know I could go. I got options. And we think about it, but that's, God is the one that gave you that money. You know that little raise that you got? That wasn't just because of your goodness. That God has a way of meeting your need. And so I think on contrast, if we think carnally, then we're going to reap carnal things. And if we think spiritually, then we're going to impact spiritually. It's almost like what's going on here is that we need a new nature. It's almost like because this goes against our nature so much, it's almost like we need a new nature to be able to function. When I read through this, you want me to get slapped in the face, walk an extra mile with this bozo who doesn't need me. You want me to just lie down and get stepped on. If this is going against my nature, I need another nature. I need something. And you know what? That's what we're going to find out because guess what? We are born again. And that's what's powerful. If we think about it, we're going to make it because we are. This isn't our nature anymore. And if we keep thinking carnally and acting carnally, we're not that new creature that God said that we would become. A new nature has been given unto us. That way we can be able to go out there and do these things. Because guess what? All these little problems and stuff, they're not such a problem when we realize what really matters. Slap me in the face, whatever. I got joy. I know what you're going to slap me in the face, but I get to see where you're at, and I've been there. It stinks. You're a jerk. I understand that. But I was a jerk too. And God did something for me. There's something about my nature that's been changed. There's something about my life that's been changed. I get to go places and do things for people. And I know what it's like to live truly. See, these people who do these things to you and want to tug at you and stuff and hurt you and pull against you and slap you, see, they don't have that new nature yet. They don't know the joy that you've got to experience. And see, if we're not investing in that joy and we're not living spiritually, then we're not getting it. You know, it's not going to make sense to us. So that new nature is what we need to act on and live on. I'll back that up. So how do we do it? Romans 8, chapter 3 through 9. It says, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his." Wow, that's powerful. That scripture just kind of goes with everything that I was just saying. And I'm going to break it down to you. Don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You want to know how to be able to live up to what Jesus said, how we should live? The key to it is to not walk after the flesh. Don't do the things that your carnal nature just wants you to do. When someone slaps you on the face, don't react like that. Because guess what? We have a new nature. We're not the same as we were. Because we got the God of the universe living inside of us, right? And then you realize the guy who just slapped me, he's going to heaven or hell. What am I going to do about it? Because your reaction could actually send somebody to hell. You know, your reaction. Because what if you were the only witness that they could have had? And you just showed them a wrong witness, a poor witness. And now, you know, and they just don't know what it's like to have a good person in their life or an example. So walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So you're saying, I can't do anything pertaining to my flesh. I can't have fun. I can't have toys and entertainment and all that. That's not what I'm saying. Just make sure that that's not your God. That's not your goal. Make sure our carnal wants, it should not compromise our spiritual walk. It should be submitted to our spiritual walk. So it's okay to have stuff. It's okay to have things, but that's not your goal anyway. We have the King of Kings living inside of us. You know, we can do these things, and sure, that's fun, that's fine. And you know, God doesn't want us to just be bored all the time. But at the same time, the way that we treat people, because if we think about it, God is living inside of us. Verse 5, it says in the New International Version, it says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires." So if you're living carnally, your desires will be for the carnal. If you're living spiritually, your desires will be for the Spirit. Godly principles or godly ways or goals, they're not really probably appealing to you if you're walking after the flesh, if you're willfully seeking. If you've been wondering, why don't I have the desires that these other people have? Like, I see them giving. I see them paying, you know, and giving to missionaries and stuff. Well, how come I don't have that desire? Well, it's probably because that's not where your mind's been. You've probably been looking about the stuff and the things and our safety and our entertainment. But these things don't matter in the end. All that stuff gets burned up and it's gone. It's going to fade away. It's going to break down. It's going to die. That doesn't matter. A soul is going to live forever. It's going to live forever in eternal life, or it's going to live forever in eternal death. That's what matters. And so when we think about it and we put it in contrast, that the stuff that we want and we live after and seek after, that's going to fade away anyway. So our priorities of what matters, how we respond, is going to determine what we think really matters. But if we're willfully seeking after our flesh, then it's not going to make sense. In fact, church and spiritual things might seem pretty boring. You know, we might come to church and we're just bored because we've really not been seeking after the things of God anyway. We've been maintaining. We've been going through the works because we know it's right, but we've not been living the life. And if you're bored, maybe consider that. What have you been investing in lately? I have to do that. If I find myself bored, I realize and think back, well, have I been reading much this week? Have I been praying much this week? Oh, no. Oh, that's probably why I'm not engaged. That's probably why my spirit's not saying amen. That's probably why my spirit is not going, preach it, because it doesn't really care. Because I've been feeding my flesh, and that's really what's living inside of me. That's what's really the biggest thing going on in my life is just my flesh, because that's all I fed this week. That's all that I've, that's when someone come up to me and bump my shoulder, and I turn around and yelled at them, or I hit them back. It's probably because I've been feeding after my flesh, and I haven't been walking after Jesus. I haven't been feeding my spirit. I haven't been investing in what really matters. I've just been going along, doing what I want, doing what I feel, putting God on the back burner, putting everything that really matters on the back burner just to get that stuff, those things. And you know what? It stinks because you see every time that what good has all these things ever done for us? What good has all that our prizes and investments? And this is something I've noticed. I'll get out and I'm like, man, I got to have that. That is cool. I want that. Man, that is gonna make me so happy. I'm going to get that new thing and I'm going to be happy. And I go out and get it. And sometimes it's almost like God will just say, he just kind of like let me experience it. And I get it and I'm like, great, I got it, yes. And then like a couple minutes later, I'm like, man, this is stupid. I got it, now what? I mean, sometimes it's almost like God takes that joy away. He's like, really? Does this really matter? Great, you got it. Now what else are you going to look for? Because it's true, you get bored of it. You have fun with it for a little while. And then you're done with it. And then he's like, well, what are you going to go after next? Stupid, you know. Is this really? It's like sometimes I feel like we're, you know, someone's holding bait in front of us. And we're like, oh, awesome. And we're like, we're not really smart. Because that stuff is going to fade away. It's always going to be something new. It's never going to be fulfilling. In fact, that's why all the movie stars and stuff, they go around chasing after the newest thing, the newest wife, the newest stuff. It never is going to fulfill. All that stuff's going to fade away. That doesn't matter. What matters is your spiritual walk, your relationship with God. And that's going to determine how you respond in situations that's going to reflect your godliness. That's going to determine how you respond when you're driving on the road and someone's driving slow. Instead of you trying to kill them because they're driving slow, it won't bother you so much. I've noticed, and I've tested it on myself, and if I'm prayed up and I'm driving, I don't care. It's awesome. And I mean, that's going to take a God nature to do that. Because sometimes I just want to, you know, just run them off the road. Like, I don't, what? You know, and that's what our carnality wants to do. But in real life, you could have just killed somebody. And if nobody else ever knows you did it, God knows you did it. And he knows that that was wrong. And he knows that just because you weren't happy in your flesh or whatever, that's not right. It's not right. So the way that we live and what we pursue after is going to affect how we treat this world and how we interact. Now, along with the potential to seek non-beneficial outcomes for your spirit is the potential to seek beneficial outcomes to your spirit, meaning that just as much as you have the ability to feed your flesh and do all these things, if you put your mind on God and godly things become your desire, you're going to start walking after spiritual desires. It's a byproduct. If you say, I want to live for God, so I'm going to start walking. That doesn't mean literally just walking, but you're going to start doing these little things. I'm going to start reading, and I'm going to set up a little regimen or whatever. I'm going to pray at this certain time, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. But I'm going to start walking after the ways of God. And you do that, you're going to find yourself having desires for godly things. And it's what you read. You're going to, if you decide that I'm going to start living for God, and you set it up where you're going to start fulfilling these little things, you're going to find yourself wanting to do that. Because you read these, this is not just a book. And if we look at it as if just a book, we're missing the mark. When you read this stuff, it brings life. You will find yourself feeling the presence of God when you read this book. When you read his word, you will start having these desires. That's how I do it. That's what I was missing. Thank you for speaking to me, God. This is something I needed to hear. That was exactly what I was struggling with the other day. God speaks to you through his word. So if you start walking in the ways of God, you're going to start desiring the things of God. Amen? It's true. I've tested it. And it works. Amen. If you want to live right, then we just start minding the things of the Spirit. Read, pray, fast. I said fast. Ow. I know, but it's beneficial. It'll change things. In fact, now that I'm on that, I'm preaching to myself. If you want to feel God and you want to cut off your flesh, then when you do a fast, not just starving yourself, because if you just don't eat for a long period of time, you're just starving yourself. But if you fast and pray, then you're going to feel that part of you, because you're investing in your spirit. And that's really what's going to live inside of you. And you feel God like you've never felt God. If you actually pray and you seek him, you're feeding your spirit and not your flesh. You're not going to die because your body is able to live for an extended period of time without eating. But if you do that, you really feel the presence of God. It's necessary. That's why they did it in the Bible. All right. Verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, that we talked about that, life and peace. Man, it's true life and true peace, the way that God has ordained it, the way that God has set it up. James 1:15 says, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We know that eventually sin, when we are feeding it, when we are investing in it, even when nobody else knows about it, it eventually is going to bring forth our death. If not our death in this life, our death after this life, our eternal death. Sin brings forth death. And that's something that we need to be aware of. Even the little sin, that thing that nobody knows about, that matters. If it doesn't matter to anybody else, if nobody ever knows, if pastor never knows, if your family never knows, God knows, and you're going to be accountable for it in the end. So those things we need to be mindful of. When our minds are on the matters of the Spirit, it will produce life and peace. Verse 7 says, in the New International Version, says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Wow, hostile to God. You ever heard that? You ever just felt angry at that person for being so spiritual? Well, that's because you were thinking carnally. Seriously, you never noticed that? When somebody is like being all spiritual and you're like, yeah, it's because you're operating on your carnality. Because, hey, if what they're saying and they're truly meaning they want to do something for God, or when they're actually saying something that is right and in line with God, and your flesh is rising up, that's because probably your mindset was off. Your carnality was ruling in that situation. And we have to be prayed up. We got to be prayed up. We got to be prepared and ready, because that's what's going to happen. Our responses, you know, whether if we're not prayed up, our responses are going to be good or bad. Or, you know, the way we respond is determined by what we invest in, you know. Amen. Now, verse 8. Oh, actually, let me read. If we keep trying to do this without God, we're not going to make it, basically. Verse 8 says, if you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. So even if you can get through the motions and look like you're doing the right thing, you're not pleasing God if you're in the flesh. You know, think about it. Even when we come to church and we just go through the motions, it's not pleasing God if we're operating in our flesh. Verse 9 says, you're not in the flesh. I'm just summarizing. If you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God in you. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. So we need that Spirit You know, if we have God in us and we are praying and we're investing and we're prayed up, then we're walking after His Spirit, after His truth, and we are going to make it. So the question, how do we live the right way? The answer, through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. If we want to make it in this day and age, in this time, we need to be prayed up. We need to be put on the mind of Christ. And actually, let's take a second just to praise Him. Jesus, we thank You. God, we thank You for Your truth. Lord, I pray that You'd touch our minds, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. You are holy, God. Hallelujah. We need Your Spirit. We need His presence. We need His mind inside of us. We need to walk after His Spirit. We need to put this inside of our hearts. We need to make our decisions based on what God would do and not what our flesh wants. We need to do things according to what He said. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." The New International Version says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." The weapons that we see in our flesh, we want to get a weapon. We want to hit back. But the weapons that we fight with are not carnal. The Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, with principalities and powers of darkness. We're fighting things that we can't see anyway. When someone rises up against you, you're fighting something that's not just what you see. So how we defeat this and how we demolish these strongholds is what we invest in. We aren't warring after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when we're prayed up and we've invested and we're walking in God, then we're going to be fighting and combating things that it's going to change the situation for the best, because we're letting God have His way and we're being right in His eyes. Verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The New International Version says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And so when we're prayed up, and when we're in these situations, I have to put these thoughts under captivity. I have to restrain myself. I have to turn off my flesh. I have to say, "God, I give it to You. Help me, Jesus," and give it up. We're putting it in His hands, and we're pushing down our carnal wants and our desires. So if we submit our will and desire, our thoughts, unto the Lord and walk after His Spirit, what used to concern us or bother us, it will not. If you have a problem in your life, you're struggling with an area, if you struggle with anger, if you've not tried giving it to God, and I understand, just give it to God. It might not seem as easy as that, but if we are prayed up and we are truly searching after Him, there will not be any room for that. If we are putting our spirit over to Him and we're walking after Him and we're saying, "God, I'm going to do Your will," there won't be room for that. We're going to be, if our mind is on God, then all the other carnality and the things that we struggle with, it's going to die. It's going to be submitted to the mind of God. It's going to be underneath. It's going to be the submission. It's not going to be the main mission. It's going to be underneath the will of God. It's going to be put down. So we need to be prayed up. Instead of fighting in anger, we will turn our other cheek. Instead of being trying to get justice or being justified, we let God be the judge. Instead of being proud, we become a servant, because we realize what this is about. James 3, 17 through 18 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Wow, if we can live up to that, that is being a Christian. It's walking, it's peaceable, it's pure, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated. This is how we should seek to be. This is how we should live our life. This is the fruit that is going to be produced because we've been investing in the kingdom of God. If we could all stand with, would you all stand with me? And I'm gonna pray. Let's search ourselves real quick for a couple minutes. And put this before God, and think about yourself, where you're at, and what you can give to God, and submit unto His will. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray that right now in this place, Lord, You would search me. Help me to see, Lord, whatever it is in my own life that I need to submit myself unto You, Lord. What is it that I'm letting live that should not be living? If it's anger in my life, Lord, help me. God, help me to be able to invest in You, Lord, and to put these other things down and to lay that aside, God, and to live for You. Let You be God in my life. Lord, You are holy. I seek after You. God, I want to be where You want me to be. I want to know what You want me to know. I know that the things of this world will fade away. The things that I am searching after in my flesh don't matter, Lord. Help me to see these things that I need to see, Lord, that I would seek after You, and that one day I would stand before You and You would say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want to be with You, Lord, and that's what matters. I want to live with You for eternity, God. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be right with You, God, and to be right in this world and to represent You. In Jesus' name, thank You for it. In Jesus' name, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Thank You, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Well, we have a couple minutes. You can go and greet somebody. You can go apologize for being angry, whatever you got to do. And I'll see you back in a couple minutes. God bless you.